So we're just listening, and we can hear something walking. Now, this pond's not that big, but I can tell
I'm just waiting.
You need to listen. I can tell. The whole time I'm telling this, he's like...
No, I'm just waiting.
So...
The truth is not always told on our show.
I understand. There has been some stretches I can tell on some of these.
Hey, everybody, welcome back, or welcome for the first time to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Evan.
Evan Scott, Cold Springs, Alabama.
Yep, born and raised. Went to Cold Springs High School just like everybody else.
If you're from Cold Springs, I thought it was Code Springs.
Depends on how old you are.
Code Springs, yeah. Alabama.
Yeah, Code Springs, yeah.
The home of... historic Bug Tussle Steakhouse. Mm.
Yes.
I've got a story. Not a story about that, but I do have a question for you about that. A rumor that I heard over the years. So we'll get to that. But Cold Springs is on the way from Dodge City to Smith Lake Dam.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you got to turn off the road, but that's kind of how you get there. And so anytime I've ever been around Cold Springs, I'm usually in a good mood because usually I was headed to the dam to go fishing.
To go fishing, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people go to the dam to fish.
That's where we kicked out a lot of times. Some of our stories actually have come from there, especially when we started to sink Grant's brand new Triton.
That's
where it happened. So a lot of history there. And then before we get started, just a little recap. Last week's, we had the frog gigging guys in.
Columbia, Tennessee representing.
And we had a comment about that. So finally, y'all got some Tennessee people on there. And I thought, well, I mean, you know.
We ain't opposed to Tennessee folks.
We're not opposed to it. We got to make our way out. That's right. You can start somewhere and work yourself out. But so Evan joins us. He's a veteran. We appreciate your service.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
To our country. And you reached out to us on Facebook. So Evan's a reach out. For some of you guys that say, well, how do you get on the show or how do you get your guests? Well, Evan just sent us a message.
Yeah, I just pretty much had sent a message and said, hey, you know, I don't know if y'all want any guests or what y'all looking for, but I got some stories I could tell, you know.
And hey, that's one thing we say. Everybody's got a story, and we're just here to help you tell it.
Shane's going to be so excited about this. You said you got something about a Black Panther.
I do.
I'm ready.
I'm
always ready.
I've got two encounters, and they're in the same area.
Okay.
So it's not...
Let's start here, though. Okay. Are we talking about personal encounters, or were these my grandfather encounters?
No, personal.
Okay.
With my own eyes.
All right.
Day and night. So that...
Let's hear it.
Okay. So where I live, people that know where I grew up will know there's a road that goes in between my parents' land and my granddad's land.
And it's probably straight up and down.
It's not, actually. Right before it is a little bit of a hill. But there's a pond over there. And we used to gig and coyote hunt and do all kinds of stuff over in those woods. And... So anyway, when I was a kid, I would drive when I was in middle school and before I had my driver's license. In the summer, me and my buddy would drive our four-wheelers over to the school and hit baseball and then come back. And one time we got the steel to drive my soon-to-be truck over there and drove it back. So we were already nervous on edge about driving. We were, 14 or 15. And on the way back... Right there across from the pond, a Black Panther ran out in the road. Now, y'all just listen.
I'm listening.
Ran out in the road, didn't stop, and jumped from the edge of the road over the ditch, over the fence, and took off, kept running through a pasture. So that was the first time I saw it.
Now, wait a minute. Tell me about the Black Panther. I mean, we'll be talking. What size?
Are we talking about like this? He's about this long?
No, certainly an adult. Probably, I mean, pretty long.
Is that head to tail or is that
head? That's head to rear end and then tail. It was big. It was very big.
This is not a house cat now.
No, it is not.
Okay.
Believe me. That is one thing it is not, is a house cat.
And it's black, jet black.
Jet black. And, I mean, well,
what did you think? What did you think? Did you?
We slammed on the brake. Yeah. I slammed on the brake, and I was with a buddy.
So you have a there's another witness. I have a witness. You're not a solo.
Both stories, I have a witness with me.
Okay, we might have to interview him separately.
Yeah,
okay, we can't interview you together.
Yeah,
before this release.
Yes. So I slammed on the brake and we watched it jump and take off. And we looked at each other and he had told me that his dad or somebody had seen one. And I said, is that what you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, that's exactly it.
Was there like sparkly dust coming off its paws?
There was not. No. It did have a horn.
I was going to say no unicorn following it.
No, it. But, and it didn't have a collar.
Yeah.
No
collar. No collar.
No collar. No.
Were you close enough that you could have told if it had a collar on it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was right in front of the truck. Right in front of it.
This is Dwight's story.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Right in front of the truck. So that was the first encounter. And that was in broad daylight. The second one, me, the same buddy. Now that I knew when I said that it would be
same
trouble.
Same buddy.
Stock prices go down.
I was in until the same buddy.
But and another guy.
Additional eyewitness.
So there was two others this time. Okay,
but you've already said earlier that y'all weren't drinking on the lake. Were y'all drinking this night?
Nope.
No
drugs. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. So
no methamphetamine?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. So we're frog gigging at that pond. Mm. Now, this is 50 yards from where we saw it the first time. And this is 3 years later. And there had been other sightings in this time as well. Like in that time frame, other people had seen it.
Didn't any of them ever make the Cold Springs
Gazette?
They, if you're talking about Facebook, it certainly did.
It did. Okay,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Not the newspaper.
Not the newspaper. Yeah, okay. The Cold Springs Gazette. Mm-hmm. And so now this one's at nighttime. Mm-hmm. And when we went frog gigging, we kind of, this time just, we were like, we'll go frog gigging, but we'll take a rifle in case we see a coyote, you know, or hear a coyote or something. Mm-hmm. So I had a 17 HMR with a light on it, with a green
Predator,
yeah, varmint light.
Might not
yeah.
be telling all that.
Yeah, no, you know. And so we're frog gigging, and we were sitting there. We had been doing it, and we were sitting there trying to figure out what we were going to do next, where we were going to go next on the pond.
A lot of strategy goes into frog gigging.
There is a lot of strategy. Oh, yeah.
Last week's episode.
Who's going to hold the light? Yeah. And so every single cricket, frog, bird, everything stopped all at the same time.
Silence.
Now, cue the suspense music.
Yeah.
If you've ever been around a pond at night, it's so loud, you can barely hear yourself think sometimes.
It's like a big party.
Exactly. Everything gets quiet. And we immediately, being the young woodsmen we were,
mm-hmm.
we're like,
that's odd.
What's going on?
You also got quiet.
Oh, yeah. So we're just listening, and we can hear something walking. Now, this pond's not that big, but I can tell you're
listening. I'm just waiting.
You need to listen. I can tell. The whole time I'm telling this, he's like.
No, I'm just waiting.
So.
The truth is not always told on our show.
I understand. There has been some stretches I can tell on some of these. So, I had the rifle, and my buddy goes, you know, hey, get your light out. Look up, you know, start looking. So, I turned it on and put my hand in front of the light. Like, turned it on and had it like this, and I like pointed it out across the pond and did like that. And there was the Black Panther on the other side of the pond staring back at me.
Crouched.
Looking.
Like he was going to bounce.
I mean, he was on the other side of the pond. I mean, it's probably 40 yards or something. It's not a very big pond. And it just backed up.
You know what it was.
And turned to what?
He was coming after them Vianney wieners.
He was coming at, yeah. He smelled some
Vianney juice
yeah,
around there.
Something. And so it just backs up.
Reverse.
And don't ask me why I didn't shoot it. I ain't got a clue.
Well, that would have been illegal. That's
Look,
why.
Well,
yeah. And also, you would have.
It could have charged
you. You would have debunked this entire.
So this is tail. Another this is Black Panther.
Black Panther.
Same, similar size.
It had to be the same one. Really. It really had to be. Because it was the same size. It was the same site. I mean, it looked exactly like the one I saw a couple years before that. And so it backed up and we just watched it and it disappeared. And I kid you not, 15 seconds after we couldn't see it anymore, everything resumed. Everything went back to normal.
Except you.
Except us.
What did y'all do?
We packed up and ran to the house. Ran. Sprinted.
Moved enough to get out of Dodge.
Yes. Dumped the frogs we had and just took off. Because we knew they weren't going to be any good by the time we got ourselves calm. I mean, we weren't going to store them.
I saw Skyler's Cokes. He can have them all.
He can have them all.
We took off. We ran all the way back. And we're standing on the porch collecting ourselves. And a real house cat,
was the other one not real?
My parents' house cat walked up on the porch and scared. We jumped out of our skin.
Was it about the same size as the Panther?
No, it was probably like 70 pounds less than the Black Panther.
Okay.
And it's not black. Look, it's white. It's white and gray.
It's a tabby.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Here's the reality. If there were going to be a Black Panther exist, it would be in Code Springs.
It would be in Code Springs, without a doubt. We have a black bear now, too.
Oh, here we go.
Have y'all heard it? Now, that one is pictures and everything.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Well, supposedly we have one in Smoke Rise as well.
I've heard that, yeah.
And it's a pawpaw. This is not a cub.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
this one's a big one.
It looks like it's around the block a little bit.
About three or four hundo. I mean, it's a good
big one.
If he's in Smoke Rise, you know he's got some little Debbie. He's got a little bit of Jack's leftover fried chicken.
Something thrown out. Yeah.
He's got plenty to
eat. There was one. Y'all know Stony Lonesome OHV Park?
Oh, yeah.
And they have pictures of it out there and all around there. Yeah. Black bear.
I'm waiting on my time. It's happening. Sighting. My sighting is on its way.
Well, I'm excited because we're about to move, and the land that we're about to move onto is like 5 minutes down the road from there.
So we might have a follow-up.
You might have a follow-up with a black bear.
Oh.
Can you take a picture or something this time? I mean, I'm not saying I think you're telling a non-truth, but...
Or possibly another guy besides the same one.
There was a third guy.
I don't know, though. He could have been influenced by, you know,
I'm telling
the mind
you.
Plays a lots of crazy tricks. You might have said, look at the Black Panther. And he's like, I see the Black Panther.
That third guy.
Where?
That third guy's a tough son of a gun, and he was scared to death. He was scared.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've convinced me. I believe you saw what you saw. Now, what you saw, I'm not sure, but I believe you saw what you
saw. Well, I had actually, one of the Black Panther videos, I guess the podcast y'all did where y'all talked about Black Panthers.
He was all about it.
And I actually commented about these stories on there.
Back then?
Yeah.
That's been a while back.
Yeah, it was like the third episode or something.
Yeah, well, I'd watched it later.
It was in the 40s.
So, yeah. But I will concede that it could be a Florida Panther, which is not completely, totally black.
Jaguarian.
It is jaguarish.
Jagurundi?
Jaguar.
We had all kinds of comments. There's supposedly a big debate about this whole thing that I had no idea, nor the energy to really get into it. But, you know, we had articles, science put out, you know, and I was just thinking, okay, I just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I will concede the fact that it could be that.
Yeah.
Which it is so brown that it looked like it would look black.
Yeah, there's some sort of genetic that the colors, it can't happen because of this.
That's what they say, is that there is no...
But you saw it. It's big.
It's big. It's a big
cat.
Big old cat. And it looked black.
With a big long tail.
Yeah.
In Code Springs.
And it can turn the volume off at a pond.
That's right.
Mute.
And whenever it wants. Now, I haven't seen it since, because not long after that, I left and joined the military. But
Well, that's a good segue.
Yeah.
You have some really cool stories. Being a veteran, you've served, mm-hmm. you've been to Iraq. Mm-hmm. Give us some of those. Take us to Iraq with some of the stories.
Well, one of the cool ones that I have that I like to tell people that know anything about the Army and how the whole leadership system works. So in the Army, you have the chief of staff, who is the four-star general that is in charge of the Army. Okay. That is who the president talks to about the Army. And you have a bunch of other officers, like generals, that are under him. Mm-hmm. But you have that, and he's an officer. Then you have an enlisted guy that is like, if he's here, you know, the enlisted guy is right next to him okay. in the enlisted category. And he's the sergeant major of the Army. And at the time, it was Daniel Daly, or Dan Daly. And everybody loved him because he was real lax on stuff. Like, he didn't try to, like, invite some kind of hard, weird regulations for us to follow. And I think he, like, changed some policies and stuff, too, like tattoo policies and stuff for guys that were. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so everybody liked him. And so we were in Iraq, and I was in Mosul. This was in 2018. So this was right after the Marines had liberated Mosul with the Iraqi army. So the Marines went and did their thing in 2017, and then I was there in 2018. And so we had to do, so where we were in Iraq or in Mosul was Saddam Hussein's sister's palace was, well, it, we had dropped a bomb through it at one point.
Probably not as nice of a place anymore.
Yeah. But it was still standing. It just had a huge hole down the middle. So if that tells you anything about the integrity of those buildings. But we had guard posts on the top of it. And I was up there. And that morning at 8 o'clock, we all meet, and then you go to your guard post, and then you stay there till 8 o'clock at night.
Whoa.
And so we got there, and they were like, hey, we got something big for y'all today. And we were like, okay. They're like, there's a chance that the SMA, Sergeant Major of the Army, is coming here, and he wants to talk to people that are on guard post and wants to talk to everybody. And we were just like, what? You know, because we had, I mean, throughout the course, the guy that was in charge of our regiment, because I was cavalry, I was a scout, we'd seen him a couple times. Just that guy that's mm-hmm. in charge of us. And so to see the Sergeant Major of the Army, it was like celebrity sighting almost, right. You know. And so they were like, so be on your P's and Q's. Know what you're talking about. Because you have a whole book about, you know, preset targets and references and everything. And they're like, study that until he gets there. So you know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about and all that. So I'm sitting up there at the guard post up there on top of the palace. And I've got cool pictures of it, and I'll show you. We've got like a 50 cal and a bazillion rounds of ammo. It's a cool picture. But I see the helicopter land. Now, we couldn't land planes. The compound was so small, we couldn't land planes. We had to do helicopters. I see the helicopter land, and I see a bunch, I mean, entourage.
Yeah.
People with cameras, mm-hmm. civilians, you know, uniformed. And on the radio, it's like, he's here. We're like, okay.
The birds landed.
Yep. And we weren't supposed to have our phones. But we did, in case we wanted to say something off radio, we could text each other and all that. And every time he left a post, you'd get the text, he's coming to this, he's coming to that. So you'd be ready and on, you know, on your stuff. And I get the text, he's coming upstairs.
That's where you're at.
Okay. And so I'm just sweating. Of course, it's already 115 degrees, but I'm like real nervous, you know. Door opens and I look, and there's Sergeant Major Daly. He walks in and I gave him the greeting. I was like, you know, good morning or good afternoon, Sergeant Major. And he shook my hand. He said, what's your name, son? And I said, Specialist Scott, you know. And the first thing he said was, where are you from, son? Because every time I talk to somebody, mm-hmm. where are you from? Why you talk like that?
You know? Code Springs.
Yeah, I'm from Code Springs. So I said, I'm from Alabama, Sergeant Major. I figured that. And I was like, yep. And without, you know, him saying anything, I said, let me tell you about these targets we got.
So he hadn't even asked. You just vomited.
So I went, and I was like, I guess I need to do that because I want to impress him. I want him, you know. And so I've got the booklet out, and I'm like, there's, you know, we've got the old college right there, and we've got this over here. And I told him, I talked to him, and my boss, my first, like, the guy that's in charge of, the first guy that's in charge of me, standing back there walking around with everybody, and he's listening, watching. And I get done, and he goes, let me tell you something. This is Sergeant Major. He goes, I need more specialists like you in the Army, Scott. And I said, well, you know, I don't remember what I said. And he shook my hand, and he gave me this coin, if I can get it out, that...
Hold it up for everybody to see.
Yeah. So on this side, it says, awarded by SMA Daniel A. Daly, 15th Sergeant Major of the Army. And it's got his rank on it. It's a specific rank that only they get to wear. Yeah. And then on the back, it's got the stars and the eagle. And the white and red is a cavalry.
Okay.
Because that was kind of cool that they did that. But anyway, so when you get a challenge coin, you put it in your hand and you shake somebody's hand that you want to give it to and they grab it out of your hand. That's how they give a challenge coin out. It's pretty cool. It's not as big as it used to be. Used to be, they said back in the day, you know, all the old timers, if you were like at a bar, somebody could come up and put a challenge coin down. And if you didn't have a challenge coin that had a higher rank on it, you had to buy him a drink. That's why it's called a challenge coin, I guess, is that they used to do that.
I thought we were fixing a duel or a leg wrestle. Yeah. Well, buddy, if you were a drinker,
I could get as many drinks as I wanted. And so anyway, so he left, and my boss, right before he walked out, he like winked at me and gave me a thumbs up. And I was like, sweet. And I sat down and was just, I was just shaking.
Like I had all that
adrenaline just leaving me, you know. And not long after that, the guy from the other post came over and was like, how'd you do? And I was like, good, I guess. I did okay. And he was like, man, I'm so scared. And he was puffing on a cigarette as hard as he could.
Drawing it down.
Said, give me one of them. Yeah. And I was puffing on, I wasn't a smoker, but I was like, I'm shaking here, you know. And yeah, anyway, that was one of the coolest experiences I had. It really is like meeting a celebrity because his picture is everywhere.
Yeah.
Every single.
And he wasn't just doling those out.
No. As far as I'm aware, me and the other guy on the roof were the only ones that got them that day, which I could be wrong, but that's the way I understand. I didn't know anybody else that had one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you said that was the coolest experience. Well, you gave us another one though, that happened when you maybe not had such a cool experience there in Mosul.
Mosul. Yeah. You talking about the drinking the water?
Your story.
Your story, buddy.
So we had been there, I don't know, 2 months. And I was still getting used to everything. And all of the water that we were drinking, because where we were on the compound, we were like on the only base in Mosul that didn't have like a shop and all that, like American stuff. Okay. We had a Iraqi shop that we would go to and get like Iraqi stuff. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have like an American PX, like the military, any like a gas station is like mm-hmm. a PX. That's what they call it. And we didn't have any. Iraqi barbershop, we had to go to that, which was fun to say the least. But
I may want to hear about that. I'm interested.
I can tell you about the Iraqi barbershop. And so, so we went out on a mission and it was, we were escorting somebody or looking into some roads or something because it had just been blown up. When we were fighting, when we fought ISIS, we just blew up Mosul. And it was split by the Tigris River. And I don't know if y'all know this, Mosul is Nineveh.
No, I didn't know
Super
that.
Cool. Yeah. I saw Jonah's grave too, supposedly, where Jonah was buried. And I can tell you that one too, but...
Does it have a whale?
No. It's a fish, not a whale. Big fish. And so anyway, east and west Mosul. East was nicer. Stuff wasn't as bad. West was just rubble. So we were on the west side.
And
we were on the bad side.
Of course. Yeah.
And so we were doing, you know, we would drive, stop, get out. And then the regular old dudes, would just stand there and guard. while whoever it was talking to somebody, or, you know, engineer was looking at some road or something. So I'm standing on this corner of this building, you know, and I'm looking down this road and looking down this way, and it is so hot. This was in like late June or early July. So it's so hot. It's like 120. I've got 125 pounds of gear on. I weighed 175 pounds at the time. Yeah. Man. So yeah, I was a 240 gunner and I had to carry all my own ammo and everything. So, I'm standing there and I'm just sweating, and there's a door right here on the corner and it cracks open. And I immediately was like, what in the world? And a little girl was looking through the crack and she was just looking at me. And I kind of waved at her, you know, trying to be nice to everybody.
Sure.
And the door swings open and it's her mom dressed in the whole thing. You could see her face wasn't covered, but she was black head to toe. And she looked at me and she looked at my gun and she looked at me and she went, Water? And I was like, yes. Up until this point, the whole time, any water we drank was in bottles, because we didn't have, I mean, we're on a compound in Mosul. We don't have plumbing that mm-hmm. you can just get water. So we just been drinking bottled water. So, you know, put it in your Camelback, bottled water, drinking bottled water. So naturally, in my mind, I'm like, she's about to hand me a bottle of water, not thinking that this woman lives off of 10 cents a day in Iraq. She comes out with a pitcher and a glass and pours me a cup of water and hands it to me, and not even thinking, grabbed it. I mean, gone. I took the drink, like I took the cup away from my face and I looked at it, and there was still some water left, and there was just... I don't know what it was.
Sediment.
I don't know what it was, but there was floaties in there. And I looked at, I mean, I probably looked at it for a good 10 seconds.
It's called microorganisms.
Yeah. And I just handed it back to her. And I think shukran is thank you in Arabic. And I said that. And I immediately turned and looked for Doc, the medic.
You know. Immediately.
I turned. And I was like looking, and I didn't see him. So we all ended up going back to the truck. And I was like, hey, Doc, I need to tell you something. He was like, what? And your medic, your platoon medic, you're so close to. Everybody yeah, loves Doc. Be. Yeah. Everybody loves Popular Doc. Guy. Mm-hmm. Yes. Everybody loves him, you know. And I said, I may have drank.
It's a possibility.
That I may have drank some Iraqi tap water. And he went, what? Like, because you're not expecting on a mission in the middle of Mosul, somebody go, I just drank some tap water. Where are you going to get tap water?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what do you, how? I told him.
Similarly, it was similar to this motion.
It may have looked just like that. This.
Yeah. And I told him what happened, and he was like, okay. When we get back to the compound, we'll go to the aid station. And I was like, okay, which is just a tent, by the way. So we went through the mission, and I don't know if it was my mind.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, definitely oh, man, my stomach, you know. So we get back, and they gave me some capsules or something. Yeah, to mystery take. Capsules. I don't, yeah, who knows what it will. I'll get, there'll be some commercial
Clorox,
in 20 yeah. years. Like, if you took these tablets when you were in mm-hmm, Iraq, mm-hmm. you got a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
And,
call Alex.
Yeah. And, so I took them and then I said, is this going to prevent like a parasite? And they were like, yeah, it's supposed to. And I was like, okay. And nothing ever happened. Hey. I was totally fine. However, 4 months later, on another mission, We're in Mosul, and we had stopped at a just this area, and there was a mechanic right there.
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work, so clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
and he was working on like dirt bikes or something. I guess just motorcycles, but they look like dirt bikes. So I was asking him about them, you know, and
he looked at you and said, water.
He did.
Wow.
He did. And I said, yeah. And I'd been cutting it up with this guy, yeah, you know, and
I hadn't learned my lesson.
No. And he brought it over to me and I downed it again.
Man.
And I looked at the glass. I did the whole thing. I mean, like on repeat. Looked at the glass. I said, thank you. And this time I could see Doc. And he was like a little bit of ways. And I went, Doc, I did it again. And he was like, what? And I pointed to the glass. And he just threw his hands up.
Yeah.
And was like,
what are you doing?
And so I had to take two more tablets or whatever it was that they gave me. And nothing ever happened that time either. So.
Don't do it a third
time. Yeah, I'm not. No, I didn't do it again. Okay. I did not.
Third time would have been a charm.
Yeah, I know. I really, if I'd done it a third time, I definitely would have come away with I'd have lost a bunch of weight and all that stuff from some kind of parasite. But.
But you live through two
Iraqi tap waters.
Man, yep. That's strong.
I've got an immune system just.
Yeah, you must have. Iron. I've got a friend of mine that when we went to Nicaragua on probably the first mission trip. I believe it was the first mission trip we'd went on. He must have gotten some water. He got the gut bug. And the cooties. And it was getting close to the day we leave, and you do not get on an airplane. You have to ask, you know, you're requesting, or they ask you, have you had fever, vomiting, or diarrhea in the last 24 hours? We had to do the
same thing when we came back. Yeah.
And you've got to answer yes or no. Mm-hmm.
Within how much time?
24 hours.
24 hours, yeah.
So it's closing on in, you know? And so we're like looking at him, like we're in the room. He's over in the corner, just like huddled in a little fetal position. And we're all just staring at him, and we're not giving him any compassion. And we're like, you're going to have to stay.
Oh, in Nicaragua.
You're going to have to stay. Oh, like we're going to leave, but you can't get on the, and he's like over there in the fetal position. He's looking at us and he's like, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm getting on that airplane. There is no.
I ain't staying.
There is no question what is happening tomorrow. We're sitting there shaking. We're arms crossed. We're like, nope, you shouldn't have drank the water. You shouldn't have drank the water. And I think what had happened is in Nicaragua, they sell bag water. And it's literally water in plastic bags, like a zip.
Because there's not enough. There's areas where there's not fresh water water, I guess.
They sell it, but it's cheap. It's just cheap for them to put it in those bags. And they told us, the folks who were there, is like, hey, don't drink the bag water. You drink the filtered bottled water, but don't drink the bag water. And he was in a similar situation. You know, it was really hot, and we were out working and doing something and trying to work for the Lord, you know, and
out here looking for the Lord. Here
doing God's work. Yeah.
Oh man. He got him a bag of water and it come up on him, buddy. Mm. But it was so funny. The next morning
he gets up, is a guy down at a creek somewhere with these bags filling them up.
Zipping it down.
That's Ricky, man. No, he's just going to rip people.
They probably have a bag
off.
Return program too, you know.
And he's at the airport, and you know that look, like when you're trying to keep it
when
together.
You're hurting,
and he was
just focused,
straight forward.
Sweating.
I mean, sweating
bullets.
Here comes the form. No. He didn't. I don't even think he looked at the form.
I can't look at it.
It's in line if you don't look.
Yeah, I don't know, but no. And he gets on that airplane, and we make it all the way through customs. And you know, after you get through customs, he's like finally made it. But man, he was sweating bullets.
How did he do on the airplane?
I was wondering that.
Well, we packed him full of fentanyl or whatever that stuff is. And
yeah.
Because we did have a doctor with us. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever it is that keeps you from
they being dried nauseous. Him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did that in Cancun, but I didn't have to do the form to come back.
You could drop some Imodium in a leaking engine and stop it up.
Right? Yeah. Maybe I mean, so. But he was over just fetal, and it was, we were so judgmental. All of us I'm stared at him like, you're going to have to stay. I can't believe you
just
did
dogging
this.
On him. Just dogging on him. He's already in bad shape, but he's dogging on him. I had the stomach bug when we got to Iraq like that. Well, I just couldn't. I mean,
you scared it over there to him.
Yeah.
Here's something from America.
Here's a real present for you.
Well, they told us, they said, when you get there, you might get a little sick. Because there's so much stuff in the air. Mm. Like, it's not, you know, they don't have any clean, you know, they don't have these programs that we have about EPA and all that stuff. Mm. And, like, when you get off the, because you have to go to Kuwait first, and then you go to either Iraq or Afghanistan.
I can tell you right now, I'd be real sick if I was over there.
Let me tell you. Like, when we got off in Kuwait, I was like, man, it's cloudy. And they were like, no, that's smog.
Oh, I would be just be sick in general.
Yeah.
I'm like old Jerry Clower with him and which one was it that went on, joined the army? They joined the army and they had to get on the train to go to basic training.
Oh, man.
Marcel. I think it was Marcel. Anyway, they is on the train, been on the train for 5 minutes or 5 hours, and they've been homesick for 4 hours and 59 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd be homesick the minute I was getting on that airplane.
I was so sick. I didn't sleep because I just kept going to the bathroom and I had to get IVs. Like I got so much fluid through an IV. They were like, we can't give you any more.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. You're not allowed.
You had all the IV you
need. I got 2,000 milliliters of IV. I don't know.
You're dried out for sure.
Yeah. Then. Yeah. They thought, it was also a thing of like, if we need it later for somebody else, like,
we can't give it
all to you. Yeah. It was rough.
You have been designated 2,000 milliliters and you have received
the rest of the deployment. Yep. You're done. You can't get any more. Man. Yeah. And that was the first 3 days that
we got
I was
more
in
soldiers. We don't have any more fluid.
Yeah. No more.
Sorry. Reach your allotment.
Sorry about it. Yeah.
It's summertime. The days are heating up and the grass is growing. You don't want to spend all that time out there in your yard cutting grass, so why don't you go on down to West Blunt Lawn and Tractor and see Amy and let her put you on a brand new commercial Husqvarna or Exmark lawnmower. Beyond commercial lawnmowers, she has implements such as weed eaters, chainsaws, leaf blowers, and more. Parts, service, right here in Hayden, Alabama. Located right on 160, stop in there and see Amy today. And learn how she can help you to get to enjoy more of your summer right now. Well, let's do one more story. A little lighthearted, you said.
I was the old designated driver.
Yep.
And they knew they could count on me to do it. And I was just, I didn't mind going to the bar or the club or whatever we were going
the
to.
The club.
The club.
Now, we used to go to Austin, Texas, and there are clubs down there.
Oh, that's
what
we called it when we were back in that time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, the club.
The club. We're going to the club tonight, baby. Yeah.
So it was.
Get dressed up. Put your shoes on.
One of my favorite trips to the club was with Jody.
Our
pickle and Bradley in Kentucky.
I might want to hear that.
I don't know if I can tell.
You don't know if you can tell it?
I can't tell it. But that was one of the most exciting ones.
That's fair. And so we had decided, me and my buddies at the time, we had decided Friday night, we're going to Austin. Because Austin, well, I was at Fort Hood, Texas, which is like an hour north of Austin. So Austin was the spot we would go. Because in Killeen, around in Fort Hood, it's all trashy, you know, stuff. So we'd go to Austin, college town, all that stuff. And
all that stuff.
All that stuff.
We know.
Yeah. So.
We remember.
College town.
Here you go, so, college town.
College town. So
we've been to a college.
Hey, my wife will probably listen to this. Let's just take it a little easy.
Hey, you're the one telling the story. Huh?
Take it easy.
Were you telling the story?
And we had quite the demographics here. We had two white dudes, two Hispanic guys, and an Indian guy.
You know what they call that?
What do they call that?
Diversity.
Mm-hmm. Diversity. That's the word I was looking for. And
diverse crowd.
The guy that was Indian was a Sikh with the turban and everything.
Oh, okay. Was he wearing it this night?
Oh, yeah. They wear it every night. They wears it no matter what.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And so we drove down there, and at the time, I had a 2005 red Mustang.
Come on. GT?
No. Okay. My parents knew better. than to get me a GT. Yeah, understood. I will say, I don't brag about ever having a Mustang because it was a V6, but my parents knew better than to get me a V8 Mustang.
We had a rule about the Mustangs, but I don't think we can talk about it. Do you remember the rule about the Mustangs? We'll talk about it after the show.
Is this something we can talk about now or is it later? No, it's later.
It's later.
I think I know what it is, but yeah. Go ahead.
And so, I don't know if y'all know that Mustangs only seat 4, but we had 5.
Yes, yeah, tight.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tied in there. Yeah, you got to fold the seat down. There's a hump in the middle with no seatbelt.
Crawl under the seatbelt. Yep. I remember.
And so we went down there, and it was, you know, I will designate a drive. Y'all do y'all's thing. And, like, nobody was over 21, but it didn't matter. If you have a military ID, doesn't matter.
Really?
Oh, it does not matter. 9 times out of 10. Especially in around Fort Knox. I got some Fort Knox stories I can tell y'all off the show.
Okay.
But,
off the record.
Yeah. And so we went down there tearing up Austin. And
we were tearing the town up.
At least we thought we were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we get down there and we're, you know, having a good time. I mean, mm-hmm. we were laughing. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the bars closed at 2. And so... At 2, we started heading back to where we had parked. There's a parking lot. There's an area called 6th Street. That's where everything is. They shut the street down. It's cool. Yeah. And there's a parking lot that's under an overpass that a lot of people park at. Mm-hmm. So we're walking back over there. Well, for some reason, we had gotten into it with these guys. One of them was saying he was in the military, but he was like fat and bearded, so we didn't really believe him. And you don't tell you don't tell a bunch of military dudes that you're in the military if you're not.
It makes sense to me.
No, yeah, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. So we were
stolen valor.
Exactly. So we were getting on this guy and his buddies. It just so happened they parked right next to us. So I was like, great, we're just going to duke carry it out this right in this on parking out. Lot. Mm-hmm. And right as things were really heating up, they go, is this guy with y'all? We were like, what are you talking about? There's a dude asleep in their car.
In their car.
And we were like, no. And they said, well, he is now. Pulled him out, shoved him over to us, got in their car and left. And we were like, and this dude, he had to have been drugged. I've never seen somebody so gone in my life.
He didn't wake up when they transferred him.
He was technically awake. But, just making
sounds, probably.
You know, yeah. It's making sounds. And we were like,
you can find me in the club.
So he had been in the club.
He had been. And being the sober-minded person.
Yeah, because you're a designated driver.
Yeah, and I don't want to just leave this guy.
With a big heart.
And so I was like, what do we do with him? And so we're like, well, let's just, me and a couple of the guys weren't just blasted. They were still coherent, yeah, so we could figure out a plan.
And I was like, this guy.
Yeah. And I said, let's figure out who his buddies are or something. So we get his phone out. At this point, he's leaning on the trunk of my Mustang. Phone's got 1% battery.
Perfect.
And it's locked, of course. It's got a passcode.
Put it on his face, Jim.
Well, this was in 2017.
Three face. Yeah.
Thumb wouldn't work, of course. Thumbprint, getting his thumb, never worked. So he said, what's your passcode? And it was just, you know, nothing. And we're like, hey, man, what is your passcode? And we're trying to get him. And my buddy, I'll call him Max, my buddy. I'm protecting the, he's not real innocent, but.
Got it.
He had a big old ring on his finger. I don't remember what it was for. His granddad gave it to him or something. He takes it off and hands it to me. And I was like, what are you doing? And he goes, what's the passcode? And the guy said, 9. We're like, great, 9. N. And he goes, that ain't a number. Wham!
Open hand slap
this guy. Falls to the ground. on his face. And I said, Max, what are you doing?
Yeah, this isn't it.
He was like, I'm going to wipe this And I was like, that ain't the way to do it. He's drunker than a skunk.
Yeah,
we need
Narcan.
It ain't happening.
Not knuckles.
Coffee.
So I pick it. We set him up. And
he needs some milk.
And that's a great reference. So I said, I sat him up and I said, I said, look, dude, we're trying to help you.
It feels like
please.
It.
Please. Yeah. I said, it may not seem like it, but I promise we are. I said, you got to give us something.
Yeah.
He never did. I said, all right, get his wallet out.
Surprise, surprise.
Get his wallet out. And then,
of course, just take his money.
Well, that's what's funny. I went, make sure nobody's looking at us because they're going to think we're robbing them, which makes it look even worse.
Oh, yeah. That
people are like looking around, you know. And so I get his wallet out. I'm like, I find his driver's license. And it was, you know, I'll just say it's Nick or something. And I went, Nick, nothing. He's just, he might have been snoring at this point. Wow. And that's why I think he was drugged. I find a military ID. And I was like,
this guy.
Man. He's got to be brand new to Fort Hood. Never been to Austin. And he ain't got no friends. If he thinks he does, he doesn't. He doesn't. He ain't got friends. Because they left him.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I'm like, well, now we have to take him back to Fort Hood. And my buddies are like,
you're coming with me, Bernie.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, you were already five deep in this Mustang.
Five deep in the Mustang.
On the way to Austin. On the way down.
So now we're going to be six. And I said, you're coming with us. Of course, he didn't give me anything, but.
So, okay, no fight.
Yeah, no, he's not fighting us. So what we were going to do, there's this place on Fort Hood called the Copeland Center.
Tell me you didn't put him in the trunk. Oh, my gosh.
Just give me a minute. So.
Where my mind went first. I was like, well, you got it. But no, surely.
Well, this story is called The Drunk in the Trunk. That's what I've always called it. So the Copeland Center is, there's always somebody there. It's like it can be like a soldier help center almost. Like if you're getting there late at night for the first time, you can go to the Copeland Center and they can give you somewhere to sleep or something or whatever. It's like a soldier center. We probably should have planned on taking him to the hospital, but we were just planning on taking him to the Copeland Center. So me and Max, who is the most of the most sober of the drunk ones.
Oh, I thought you were going to say most aggressive.
No, well, he is that too. I've got some stories about him I will not tell on camera. Mm-hmm. But I was like, what are we going to do? How are we going to get him back? And he was like, well, put him in the trunk. I said, okay. Let's do it. Now I'm sober. And I'm like, that sounds like a great plan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're not going to strap him to the hood. And I'm not calling him an Uber. It's going to be like $100.
Mm. He can't fall out.
Yeah, exactly. So we opened the trunk up. And it must have looked, I mean, there must have been somebody calling the police.
Mm-hmm.
Us putting a limp guy in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
We put him in there.
Who you stole his wallet?
And yeah.
And taking
his went through
and beat
and
up on
and
assaulted
him.
Assaulted,
theft, and now we're kidnapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's going great.
This is a great night at the club.
Man, Friday night.
We came to the club.
And this
tonight.
Is, hey, this is a normal Friday night.
This is what you normally do?
This is a normal type of event.
This,
like,
ain't this, how you, this ain't how you treat the ladies,
this,
though, right?
No.
Okay.
This.
I mean, all this kind of fell together real easily.
Or maybe that's why no ladies had made it back.
Maybe that's why. And so we put him in the trunk.
They're like the abuse center from Max.
We put him in the trunk, and we're...
Is there a center for the ladies? That's yeah.
The trail of tears that y'all leave. Yeah.
Oh. So soldier center, the ladies center.
Yeah, the ladies center.
What's it called? Open hand slap specialist Max.
So we put him in the trunk, and we're standing... You see
him over there going, who's next? It would never end.
Get the one that's asleep.
Hey, oh, man.
If he ever tells you to hold his ring, don't hold it.
Don't run off.
Yeah, don't.
Oh,
you know that, you ever seen Goodfellas?
That's what I'm thinking. I think he's a mob boss.
You know that scene where it's the point of view from the trunk and they're all standing there looking at the body? That was what we were doing.
Either that or, what is it, The Hangover?
The Hangover, yeah.
Yeah.
We're all standing there looking at him.
But did you die?
Yeah, exactly. And right before we closed the trunk.
Buying or selling a home should be an exciting and enjoyable time. One thing can position you for the best outcome, and that is experience. The team at White Real Estate has many years of experience in helping their clients maximize their sales and secure the properties and homes of their dreams. Give Darren and Rhiannon White, Caden White, or Ryan Love a call today and begin your journey on a pleasurable buying or selling experience.
He goes,
Oh, this
and we were like, get him up. Because if he,
Max,
here's the thing,
jerking him out of there.
Get him out of there. And
back on the concrete again.
And so, because I said, one of my buddies comes up to me, he goes, brother, if we get to the gate and they do a check on our trunk and there's a dead body in there because he drowned on his vomit, we are in trouble. And I said, you are right.
Mm-hmm.
So we get him out.
So Max gets to ride in the trunk.
Well, here's what's funny. All of us are about 5'8 to 5'10, except the Sikh, the Indian guy. He's like 6'2. He's like, I'll get in the trunk. I don't know if you've ever seen a Mustang trunk. It ain't big.
No.
And we're like, you volunteering? And he was like, yeah, it might be fun. And I was like, as long as you don't pass out in there. He was like, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And so we're like, all right. So we get him in the car, put him in the back seat. So it's me and Max. He always rode shotgun.
I believe it.
And yeah. And then Who's gonna take that front seat from Max?
Your hitman needs to be up front.
Yeah, and he's the shortest too, which is funny.
Who's riding up front?
Who? Me.
Any questions?
Yeah. Which is funny because he's the shortest. He needs the least amount of leg room, but he gets to ride up front.
Of course he does.
But we had been to basic training together, so we were real good buddies and all that. So he's the drunk guy's in the back. The real drunk guy is in the back. I put it in reverse. Holler at the guy in the trunk.
Do you mean the victim?
Yeah, the victim. I said, are you good? Like, we said it loud to the guy in the trunk.
You good?
Uh-huh. And I'm good. And I was like, all right, cool. Put it in reverse. I look, behind me to back up.
Smart.
And I'm just so happened to glance at the real drunk guy. And he's again.
Not again.
Max. I said, get him out. I've never seen somebody open a door, get unbuckled, slide a Mustang door down, and grab somebody by the collar and pull them on out of the car so fast. And Max did right then. I mean, he jerked him out of there.
Yeah, he lives for these moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's and practicing. So we get out. We get the Sikh out of the trunk.
Give him some air.
Yeah. Breathe a minute. He goes, what's going on? Why are we not going? I said, he's about to throw up again. So now we're standing there. We still got this dude. What do we do with him now? He obviously can't make it to the Fort Hood.
Yeah.
So we're like, there's a gas station right there. Let's get over there. Maybe get him some water, something.
Mm.
So we start walking. And we're literally carrying him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, let me back up. Right before we walk over there, we're like loudly saying, what are we going to do? Like to each other. A homeless, I don't know if y'all know this, Austin is full of homeless people.
Yep, didn't know that.
Homeless dude comes up and goes, hey, I'll take him. We went, I don't think so. No, you are not. That is not happening.
We'll take you, but
you can't take him. He said, give me $5. I'll need to take him with me. I'll take care of him. And I was like,
$5.
I said, get on it, go on.
Move on.
And so we carry him over to the gas station. And we sit him on the curb in front of the door. Now, this is 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning at this point. So, the people that are out and about are not just normal people. You're either hammered or you're doing whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're talking to him. Well, there's a couple that's there at the gas station. And they're like, what's wrong with him? And I'm like, we found this dude. He's hammered. There's something wrong with him. And we're just going to call an ambulance. Come check on him, and we'll go.
Yeah, smart.
The only thing we can do. I hate doing it to a fellow soldier, but that's the only option we had. And so...
You didn't hate beating him up a little bit. But we hate to call the ambulance, help him out.
So. Exactly. Like, why has he got such marks on his face?
Like that one found him.
he was just like that, yeah. So the woman, she goes, I'll call. Because it seems like y'all been dealing with him. We're like, okay. So she's on the phone with 911. She explains what wrong with him. And apparently the person on the other end was like, ask him this, ask him that. And she goes, have you been drinking? And we were all like, well, I mean, what do you think? He doesn't say anything. And she's like, have you been drinking? And I went, he's not deaf. Just ask him the question. He's not going to answer. He's been drinking. He needs help. So she's like, okay. Well, there's a lovely lady that is like 50-something years old, and she sells roses on 6th Street. So when you find your one-night honey, you can buy her a rose and all that.
Before you beat her and put her in the
trunk. Before you beat her and put her in the trunk. And so she walks up, and I said, do you mind, because you're a normal person, do you mind to stay here with him until somebody gets here? And she said, I will stay here. I said, here's $20. Don't even give me a rose. Just this is for your trouble. She said, okay. So she stays there. And we're like, all right. I mean, as we're walking away, the fire truck pulls up.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
And Max is like, let's go ahead and get back in the car.
Yeah, I know he's wanting to get out of there.
Number one, what he's been doing. Number two, everybody's underage. And everybody's drunk. So that's not a good look either. So we get back to the car. We drive back to Fort Hood, and I never heard of that guy again. Not once. I don't know how I could have looked him up or anything.
No.
But Nick or whatever his name was, I hope you're out there, and I hope you're okay.
Hope he made it.
I hope. I mean, and it's like a moment of, like, that could have turned into a situation that they're like, in the news today, a soldier died of alcohol poisoning, you know.
Well, maybe he hears this story.
I hope he does. And I'd love, like, for him to reach out.
I always wanted to know what happened that night. It's like The Hangover. I mean, It really is like they're trying to try to piece this together his entire life.
Yeah.
And now he's looking for Max.
And this was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
He's
wondering if this face imprinted handprint on my face matches Max.
I got these scars from
back. Yeah. Yeah. I had to have jaw surgery after that.
Yeah. He smacked him.
I know he
owed him money.
Absolutely. I mean, he just stole something.
Angry. I mean, he was
really
mad.
What he's looking for is what spurred his claustrophobia.
Oh, yeah.
He was not claustrophobic until that night.
Yeah. One last question before we close everything up. So the sick guy, did I say that right?
I think it's sick. It's like S-I-K-H or something.
I just don't know how to say it. Was he disappointed that he didn't get to ride in the trunk?
He almost volunteered to just do it anyway.
I thought that's exactly what I was
thinking. And I told him, I was like, it would have been bad if we had drove to Fort Hood and got checked and there was a dead dude in the trunk.
Or it's also bad if you get rear-ended on the way home.
That's all. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But I said, if we get checked, though, there's still a dude riding my trunk. And that's not going to fly. So, well, I definitely would have got a ticket for that as well. Or pulled over on the way home. Any of that stuff. Yeah, it just, no good situation there.
But man, golly, Evan, just good times. You have been a great guest. We got a shout out and a request for you guys. So this goes to the audience. So the first one is a shout out, man. We got a blessing this week. And we love comments, and we love to interact with the audience. It's one of the things that we really love about this show. But we had a comment this week. So we had a shout-out for Maddie last week. Mm-hmm. That was our shout-out, 78. 79 is going to be Miss Debbie. So Miss Debbie made a comment on the frog gigging video, getting giggy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to know, if you're watching again, Miss Debbie, that you absolutely blessed Shane and I.
Yeah,
it was one of the most powerful comments. I mean, you know, you'd mentioned going through a hard time, and the show really brought some joy to you. And I can't. So that's it. I mean, that's payment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge payment. And so, thank you for one, watching the show, two, for letting us know that, because I just want you to know that what you said was powerful.
Yep.
We received that, and we're very thankful for that. So that's a shout out to Miss Debbie this week, and then a request out there. We'll try something that we've never tried before. So we tell our stories, and we bring guests on like Evan here to tell their stories. But we know that not everybody is willing to come on the show and tell their story, but you may have a great story. So if that's you, you have a great story that you want to have told on the show, and you want to give us permission to tell the story, If you want to send us an email to admin@HaydenAlabamaPodcast.com, email us that story and we'll look through it. And that may be something that we do in the future, not making a promise, but we'd like to look at maybe telling some stories that people have out there. So that's interesting to you do that. But otherwise, you got anything else for them? Any shout outs before we go?
I don't think so. Just all my, you know, all my buddies will watch this and they might. Maybe the Black Panther stuff. Maybe
no,
we'll have
some. No, that's going to get, I guarantee that's going to fire some folks
yeah,
up.
I'm excited to read the comments, yeah. If I'm being honest. They might be a little rough on me, but that's okay.
That's all good. And Max, you know, shout out to Max.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that ring.
I might have to send him the link to this podcast. And
yeah.
Tell him to take a listen to see if he remembers it.
Tell him to be careful to identify about identifying himself in the comments. Oh, yeah. We never know about this other guy.
That's a good point. Coming yeah. Back. That's a good point.
But anyway,
looking for the help, someone that helped him out.
Well, that's going to do it for episode 79 here at the Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Evan.
We'll see you next week.